Good morning, everybody. This is the Fish and Frank's radio show. Fish and Frank is not here for this one, so you've got Captain Kale here today, and I am here with Captain Larry Smith from Bucket List Charters. How are we doing today, Larry?
We're doing fine. We're wishing we were fishing right now.
Yeah, the winds today are kind of putting a damper on everybody's fishing wants and needs today, isn't it?
I'm currently unable even to get out past 4 miles because we're blowing 25, 30 knots.
Now, Captain Larry does some inshore fishing and some offshore fishing, more on the offshore side of the house. What's happening out there on the offshore side? What's the hot ticket right now?
Your probably best ticket for right now is we're looking at the kingfish. I've pretty much left the area. Not that there aren't a few stragglers around. Is to hit your reefs for AJs, Amlicos, and Amberjacks. And obviously the red grouper and the mahogany or the mangrove snapper bite is just phenomenal.
This time of year, everybody gets excited for the kingfish. The kingfish come in close to shore. They're looking for that white bait that's out there. And once that water temperature starts coming back up like it has, they start moving back out. So you move on to grouper. Our grouper seasons are closing up. Red, I think, is the only thing that's available now. Mangrove snapper still out there. What are some of your tactics for the big mangrove snapper out there on the reefs?
Most of the time, what we like to do is, first of all, is planning is always, predominant for us is to plan where we would like to fish. Look at your reefs and structure. They're definitely going to be more snappers sitting on structure. So what we'd like to do is to get ourselves situated so that we're not fishing directly over the reef. We're trying to pull the fish out of the
edge.
Yeah, we're sitting a little bit off of it. We utilize a reef marker. We'll make a couple passes, do a cross section on it, and put our marker out. And we want to keep a good distance, about 50 to 100 feet away
now,
from that.
You said throwing a marker out. You're putting a marker out there where your reef is, so you have a visual target to where your boat wants to be after you've set your anchor and drifted back to it.
That's correct. It allows you to, it gives you that visual reference for accuracy, because when you're out there, the winds may shift, currents may change,
right,
and your boat's going to swing. So when you're fishing an area that may be a small wreck or a small reef that holds a lot of fish, they're unless you really got the water chummed up and turned up, they're not going to come off of that.
You talked about planning, and I kind of smiled at that. We both have a military background. You are retired Navy. I was 8 years in the Marine Corps. We both know that planning only lasts to first contact. Do you go out there with a set list of reefs that you want to hit, or do you kind of change it up once you've hit that first reef and see how conditions are and see how the bite is?
Conditions will always change on you when you least suspect it. So what we do is I always leave a plan with my family, so they always know where I'm going to be. And then from there, it may change. And what do you mean by that is, like, just recently we were supposed to be 5 to 10 knots of wind, 2 feet seas diminishing, and then we had a front come through. Well, that changed our entire plan. We could only make it to 9 miles. And that was at our outer limits, but we were expecting to go a little bit farther. Obviously, you have to be flexible. We do go out to target certain species, but you also have to have that backup plan with you at all times.
Yeah, and we've talked about that, and I explained that with Frank. Semper Gumby. Always flexible.
Super flexible.
You've got to be flexible whether you're inshore fishing or offshore fishing. You mentioned the reef donkeys, the amberjack. Very, very fun fish to catch. If you want to bend a rod and really put a hurting on yourself and find mussels that you haven't found in a while.
That's the fish to go for right now. Matter of fact, we have their cousin, the Almaco. is within within 45 feet of water right now. And we last weekend we had a window of opportunity to get out there. We capitalized on that with white bait. You couldn't get the white bait past them. They were tearing it up, and absolutely the most fun you can have. And the Almaco is a better eating fish to the AJ. Like, so you can keep one per angler.
Right, right.
So we keep one or two of them.
Not everybody can get out there and throw a cast net. Some people don't have shallow enough boats. Some people don't have the ability to throw a cast net. What are some artificial lures that you recommend to work well on those amberjacks?
The my favorite one is the jigging spoon. I use a heavy lead spoon that you vertically jig. It's called a butterfly jig or a jigging spoon, and they're offset by either a single 5-aught hook or a double fives. And what you do is you drop them directly to the bottom, and you give them a really aggressive yank to the top. That gets the attention of the fish, and then when you let it slack, it kind of flutters, and that's when they make the contact.
It's got that
is
wounded,
on the drop.
That wounded fish fall, and that fish are looking for to take advantage of the easy meal.
Yeah, the jigging has definitely been very productive, and you can also do a lot of bycatches, not only on amberjack, but if you're out there on a structure, a red grouper also will attack that.
I've done a little bit of offshore fishing. One of the tactics that we used on those big mangrove snapper was chumming them up to the back of the boat. And we had to do that because if you try catching them down 40, 50, 60 feet, with the amount of predators that we have out there, sharks, Goliath grouper, your chances of getting them to the boat can be kind of slim. Are you trying to chum the snapper up when you go out there?
We traditionally will set out two blocks, one on the port side of the boat or the vessel itself, and down current. It may go port or starboard. But I also have been trying something is I have two live wells in the back, as I'll actually fill up one of my live wells, and then the overflow will chum out as well. So, yes, absolutely. Start chumming the water. Fish that slick. Those yellowtail and mangroves will come up in the slick. You'll actually start seeing activity about, depending upon water clarity, about 10 to 15 feet. And you can just really sight cast those fish.
And I actually use that live well trick a lot for sharks. If I'm out there cutting up jacks and ladyfish or mullet or stingray, anything like that, I leave them in the live well, bleed them into the live well, turn that live well pump just so it's barely trickling out of the drain, and let that blood flow out there into the water. And it works very, very well, especially for sharks. Do you have a bigger drain that you're using to try and get some of those chunks from that chum out there?
Yeah, what I do is the post of the live well, I remove that post, and it leaves about 3 inches of water remaining in there at all times. So there's 3 inches of water remaining. It washes over top of the drain hole, and it just goes piece by piece. And we were talking about snapper. One of the best tricks that I've learned, not recently, but is a box of glass minnows. They tend to work the best when you put them in the live well. Put your chum block on the outside of the boat and put a box of glass minnows in that live well that you're letting go over the side.
Yeah, that's something that seems to be gaining in popularity. We've started selling a couple glass minnow nets for people, and they're mostly offshore guys. They like coming in here, netting up those glass minnows. There's millions of them. You can fill a live well to the brim with, you know, a couple throws of those glass minnows, and they do work very, very well as chum, you know, offshore like that. Any other tricks and tactics that are working for you for other species of fish?
Location.
if you want to stay on the location subject, obviously you're probably not out there hitting our posted reefs.
I actually do fish a few of the public reefs. Power pole, matter of fact, is one of my favorite. You come into the shop anytime, and I'll tell you, you know, one of my favorite fishing spots is the back. What everybody says, the backside of power pole.
Right, right.
That would be toward the Gulf, and uh, I it's very, I've capitalized a lot on that little spot there. And I will always go to that public reef, at least on either on my outgoing or my incoming, for either bait or finish up with what's in the live well and see if we get a couple other catches in.
So other than that, you're working other ledges and structures that you've found that aren't posted on the internet, that not everybody and their mother-in-law hits out there on a daily basis.
That's true. That pressure, a bunch of sore-lipped fish obviously aren't gonna bite. We tend to find contour lines on charts. Get with get a good chart on your boat. It goes back to planning again. Sit down, the night before, a couple nights before, when you have some free time. Go over that chart. Find those contour lines. Something as minimal as 4 to 6 feet in change can hold a lot of fish.
Now you're obviously not finding those little tiny 1 foot ledges, 2 foot ledges with a $99 Garmin fish finder. What kind of electronics are you employing out there to see these distinct little ledges? Doesn't look like much.
No, you'll find something that's like, if you're familiar with Boca Grande, the pass, they have something called the Devil's Tongue. Those ledges, if you go over it one way, you won't see it. If you cross-reference it, you may catch a glimpse of it, and yet if you go a total opposite, 180 degrees opposing it, it'll light up on you. A lot of our bottom out there, we have a lot of what's called sand waves on your way out. To locate these cheesy bottoms in these caves, I'll cross-reference.
What exactly is a cheesy bottom? Obviously, there isn't a block of Swiss down there or smoked cheddar down there. So what are you saying when you say a cheesy bottom?
A cheesy bottom is where... We'll get back to this Garmin question, but the cheesy bottom is where it's flat, where the surface appears to be flat, but there's actually divots that are taken out of the bottom, and it's limestone divots, and these fish tend to lay in there and embed and burrow in them. What's called a Morio bottom or grouper bottom, it almost looks like a couple tumbleweeds sitting in the middle of the desert with like 25 fish sitting around them.
And it's not far off of what our structure is out there. That Gulf of Mexico bottom out here off of our coast is very flat, very shallow, and that's exactly what it looks like. It's a wide open desert, so any little oasis you find out there is going to hold fish.
Yeah, and that's what gets back to the when we get back to the bottom finder, is that a good sounder is worth its weight in gold. If you, I run a Garmin. I don't have the side scan. That's probably on the Christmas list, Santa Claus, if you're listening. we like to have the side scan. It's obviously some of the best stuff. A good sounder will work when you use it a lot, and that's what I mean by that is get comfortable with the gear you're using, understand what color changes are on it, and understand that you can go over a piece of property one direction, and if you go over another direction, it's going to look entirely different. And you're looking for those subtle changes to identify. And the only way you're going to do that is by using your equipment. This I use it once a month or once every 3 months is not going to work for you.
So being familiar with your equipment and its capabilities helps quite a bit out there. We're going to call it for the day. We're running out of time. I'd like to thank Captain Larry from Bucket List Charters for joining us today. Larry, how can our listeners find you?
You can usually find me here at Fish and Frank's. Also, I have a Facebook page that's coming up here shortly. That's where you'll be finding me.
How about your phone number?
941-626-1997. Bucket List Charters.